The nigun that everyone sings that's associated with this shul that was composed literally right over here, right standing over here where you're sitting. The bench wasn't here. But Reb Shlomo Kalbach was here in 1989 and 1990. And in 1989, he actually came here with a small group of his chevra. And it was actually, where's Ephraim? Ephraim's here? Is Ephraim here?
Yeah.
Ephraim, I want you to know something. One of my close friends, his bar mitzvah, he came here with Reb Shlomo Kalbach in 1989 to have his bar mitzvah here in this shul. It was the first bar mitzvah in Poland in 45 years when they came. Strangely enough, he actually called me while we were waiting. Ezra and I were waiting when you were all by the cushion, so he actually happened to call me. He doesn't call me that often. His name's Yachad Yosef, he's a Kohen. Yachad Yosef lived with. And his bar mitzvah was here. And that day or a day before, I don't remember exactly what day it was, they went to where we went to yesterday in Maidan. And Eli, I don't know if you know this story, it's a great story. The Pshlomo was in the gas chambers. And it's a little bit of footage of it. It's the only footage where he doesn't look like he's alive. It's very weird. Mamash, he looks like he's not alive. Like we all looked like yesterday. And what he did do was he went to the side. He had a tape recorder in his pocket. And he received and composed. He received two nigunim. When he went to the side of the gas chamber. And the next day, when they were on their way here, I don't remember exactly, but he went back to his tape recorder to hear what came down when they were in the gas chamber. And nothing came out. Nothing came out. And he explained that obviously it wasn't meant for this world. Certainly, they're not meant for this world. But inside him was burning, obviously, this desire to receive something to mamshich whatever the ashpas were from the trip that he had. So when they got here by the bar mitzvah, and he stood right here, it's interesting the video footage. It's really incredible. So you all know. I just want to tell you the kids in Nimrod what this niggun is about. Because now you'll sing it. You go to a wedding. And you have the band start, bam, 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 bam. You're gonna tell them to stop. You can't play it like that. You gotta stop. This is the niggun is much, much deeper than just a nice good aura, nice clap. What he saw, he said, is that he saw when he was in Maidanek, he saw the 6 million going into the gas chambers. And that's the slow part. That's the slow part. But what he said is that he saw them coming on the other side, coming out on the other side to Yerushalayim. And that's where the fast part comes in. So I shared with some of the chevra, and I shared with my poster, my friends and family, that yesterday I ran outside, and when we went outside, I showed it to Yitzi, when we ran outside, and left the gas chamber. So I ran outside to the back where the doors are, where they would come and take out the bodies and put them in the crematorium. And I waited there for a long time. It's mamish Nigan Krakow. I went to Nigan Krakow yesterday, right there. They were in there. I went outside to the back, where they said that the cheder that were sitting in the back room, and they had to wait for that horrible, horrible job of taking them the bodies and schlepping them to the crematorium. Because those, really, those doors, it's two doors there. I don't know if anyone else saw it, but it's two doors. Huh? It's not, yeah, those pictures are frightening. Those are the doors. We're all standing there waiting. We're all standing there waiting. Rebbe always speaks in Slichas about the time of Slichas is, and for many of us, there's so many of us in this room, in the Schus of Rebbe, that's been our entrance into the whole Tkufa of Yomim Narayim. Sometimes Yomim Narayim come in earlier in the year than just then. And I know for many of us, I think it came in this week on a certain level. Obviously, whatever's going to happen with Shani and Kippur, Sukkot, the Natias, it's all planted already now, this week. There's no doubt about that. But I've been thinking about how many people, how many of us in this room, a certain part of us is really waiting on the other side of that door, for that door to open. And for our grandparents and our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, to come and walk out of that door. So, that nigun, we see a nigun, is such an avoda. And what we do with Olam HaNigun, we have to do such tshuva when it comes to Olam HaNigun. It's such tshuva. Because you can now, you know, you can't just sing that nigun anymore. When you ever sing that nigun with the slow part to the high part, it's not just imagining people going into a gas chamber, chas v'chalila. It's not just imagining them coming out, but it's saying, where am I? How am I living this nigun? So to sing a nigun in the place where it's composed, dafka right here, it's been very, very special and sweet, but let's sing it, but really, really with patience. Patience for ourselves, and like we said at the beginning of the trip, without any ounce of expectation of what you're supposed to feel, but just to let the nigun, don't sing the nigun, let the nigun mamash sing you. And this nigun has been singing the neshamas of thousands and thousands of people since that day in Tavshin Mantes in 1989, when it came down right over here. So we'll sing it one time.
Yeah.